Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
We've got Jason Stanford, a former Indians pitcher, coming up in about 40 minutes. We will talk about the Guardians-Rangers series, this very significant Guardians run that we've got. But we also got a football game this weekend in Detroit. And our next guest covers the NFL draft for The Athletic. He's also got the Welcome to Detroit podcast, where he talks many Detroit Lions stories, maybe a touch of Michigan. I've heard that's still a football program. He is Nick Baumgartner, and he joins us on the fan hotline right now. Nick, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are we doing, fellas?
We're doing all right
here. Pretty good.
It's. I mean, I think there's a game on Sunday, and we're not quite sure how it's going to go. So I guess we'll start from your guys' side of things. You just waxed Baltimore. Now you've got the team that just kind of spoiled things for Green Bay. How are you guys kind of sizing up this game and this opponent on Sunday?
Well, I think that it's going to be interesting. I think Detroit went into that Baltimore game, obviously really focused on trying to send a message, I think, to the league and to itself. Detroit, I think, kind of envisions itself a lot like Baltimore, kind of a, very tough team, physical, almost a bully type, a group. So I don't think that there'll be any kind of a dip or letdown or anything else. I think, if anything, that there'll be pretty even keel out of this, because the situation is that Cleveland's defense is maybe the best in the league. I mean, it's certainly up there. So this is kind of one of those lopsided teams, and I don't think you can really, especially after watching last week's game against the Packers there, and I know Green Bay was without a couple guys, but if you're Detroit, who's already had some issues in week one, they seem to have cleaned him up front the last couple weeks. But, Cleveland would have me on high alert. I think that's probably what we'll see here is that, they're still trying to get back over the hump after that opening week loss.
Nick, the Detroit Lions, of course, had Ben Johnson depart to take the head coaching job with the Chicago Bears. Watching the broadcast on Monday night, they were speaking a lot to how Jared Goff has kind of, just taking more of a lead role and more command and making sure he's more vocal and getting things like communication reps down. Speak to the growth of Jared Goff and what you've seen so far without Ben Johnson in the building.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, it's really been, kind of an extension of what we've seen the last couple of years. Is it's been the arrow has been straight up in the air, and he's just the more comfortable that he's gotten with everything around himself, the receivers. He loves Amon-Ra St. Brown, Sam Laporta. He's gotten more comfortable with Jameson Williams and those guys. And the more comfortable he gets with them, the easier everything seems to be for him. I mean, I thought he played well against the Packers, despite the fact that, he didn't throw for much, but he made one mistake. He was as disciplined as he could be against a great defense. I think the situation is this. When they changed the offense here in Detroit, the project involved a lot of people, and the two main people that were involved were Ben Johnson and Goff. And so Goff sort of helped create the offense. And I think that, if you're talking to John Morton, who was also here at the time and was involved in that process, and Mark Brunell, same thing, they probably challenged him to, say, hey, man, you know this as well as anybody, if not better. You're comfortable. So if there's something that comes down the field that you don't like, let us know and we'll make an adjustment. I think there's more of that probably happening this year on both sides of the ball than there's been in past years for Detroit, more trust in the players. And I think Goff leads the way in that. I think that there's nobody there that they trust more than him.
Nick, I need you to fill in the blank for me here. Stop blank and you beat the Lions.
Stop their play action game. Stop their ability. Like, if you pressure them, if you can mess up their ability to let Jared stand back there for, you know, a good 3 seconds, 2.9, whatever you want to call it, so he can get to that second level read, so he can get to the dig route, so he can get to, you know, Amon-Ra over the middle or Williams or whatever it is. If you take that away by pressuring on every pass situation that you can, that's what Green Bay did. They become really, really not one-dimensional per se, but kind of one-dimensional, because everything they do relies off of, you know, play action at kind of random times and the run game. And if you, it's hard to just take the run game away from them because they don't really let you do that. They keep attacking at it. But you can take the play action pass away with this group if you can be creative enough and win your one-on-ones up front.
You know, you talk about the Detroit Lions offensive line being one of the best units in the NFL. Our defensive line, you can argue, is the best unit in the NFL. That is a key matchup inside the matchup to me. Talk about, where do you think that the Browns have the advantage at in that matchup, or where do you think the Lions have the advantage at in that matchup?
Man, that's really tough. I mean, I'd like to say that at this point, Cleveland probably has an advantage over the ball in this one. You know, whoever's inside, you know, in any situation. I mean, I really like what they did with Mason Graham, adding him in there. I think he's a nice player. Collins is still in there, obviously. So I think that they're going to be better over the ball than the Lions are right now. Graham Glasgow is not Frank Ragnow. And then Tate Ratledge looked awesome the last 2 weeks, but he's still a rookie at guard. And then Mahogany is only a second-year player, too. So I think that they're a little inexperienced still inside. You can kind of get them. You know, Schwartz can dial things up and to kind of confuse those guys. But the real money matchup is going to be out on the edge there. Yeah, anytime Sewell and Myles Garrett line up across from each other, that's just, you know, that's as good as it gets in this league in any one-on-one scenario. So that feels like a push. And in rare situations, that never happens. If you're Cleveland, it almost never happens that Myles has to play against a guy that can maybe physically go with him. And the same kind of thing happens with Sewell there, I think. So those matchups will be fascinating for both sides.
Nick Baumgartner, The Athletic, welcome to the Detroit podcast as well, and the fan hotline here with Nick Wilson and Earl DePearl as we talk about this Lions game on Sunday for the Cleveland Browns. So it's been interesting. We've talked about kind of the closing of what we thought was the Browns' previous Super Bowl window. Mm-hmm. Happened right about the time they traded for Deshaun Watson, even though I don't think several of us knew it for a couple years. This Super Bowl window felt like it opened up 3 years ago. Feels like you're surviving the first of the next test, losing the coordinators you know, kind of keeping guys there. So I'm curious, like, what is the Lions' contention window, their Super Bowl window with Jared Goff and this team?
So my whole thing that I've kind of said on this one, and I really think it's this. I think the window is as long as Goff is healthy and capable and, you know, playing at this type of level. Whenever he starts to fade, whenever that might happen, whenever that is, that's when the window closes, in my opinion, because they've invested properly in the offensive line. They've invested properly in all the guys that need extensions. And I think that for the most part, there's only a couple left, you know, Hutchinson and a few others in there. I think they're going to get those done too. So they've set themselves up to be good for a good minute here. And I think that the key ingredient there is Goff. So it's, you know, if we get a year or two down the road and his play starts to slip, then I think that would be, you know, time when they would have to look at it hard and say, hey, maybe we got to make a pivot or do something different here. But the core of the roster is still very young, and most of them have been paid. And so, you know, that's all going to be there for at least two more years in total. So as long as Goff is healthy and good to go, I think you could probably get at least two more out of it. But we'll see. Well, that's the big if sometimes with those quarterbacks.
Nick, I believe that here in Cleveland, our former general manager, John Dorsey, is responsible for most of the talent that we currently see on this roster. And of course, when we see him go to Detroit, we kind of pay close attention. Talk about the impact that John Dorsey has had on the Detroit Lions organization since he's been there since 2021.
Yeah. Dorsey's been like a guy in the shadows. He has never, I don't think he's given one media interview to anybody. He has like been very quiet. There was a lot of people around here early on that were like, man, is he coming to try to like take Holmes' job, or is he coming to like, you know, push somebody out? But that has not been the case. He's been a very, I think a very experienced and trusted eye for talent in both scouting areas, both the college draft and with free agency. And I think that the one thing that Brad Holmes did, it's not just Dorsey. The coaching staff did this too. They brought in a lot of older guys that have had really big time experience and just tried to be as selfless as they could with them and say, you know, we'll listen to you. You know, if you want to be part of a team here and kind of work collaboratively. And I Dorsey's done that. They've every time anyone's asked about him, they all rave about it. And, you know, he has stayed out of the way in terms of a lot of people don't even know he's there. You know what I mean? If you didn't go to practice and didn't see him out there with that Lions shirt, the sweatshirt, he's got 100 of those made or whatever already. But like, he's been good. I think that he's helped be a voice to bounce things off of in the draft room. And I think when you go across the league, guys, you know this, like, there's Dorsey, we can say what we want to about him as a GM and his experience there. There's very few scouts in the league that have as much experience and really a track record that he has. So I think that he's a really trusted guy in there.
Nick, I know you also are a draft analyst. I don't know if you know this. We don't really have a quarterback as of yet.
Yeah.
So we're looking ahead to the 2026 draft. There've been some people running down the 2026 draft. When we talk about who are your front runners for QB1 right now today?
Yeah, a lot of it is going to depend on who comes out and who stays, you know, and all that sort of thing. But I don't think that at this point it'd be fair to have Arch Manning up there. He struggled with a lot of stuff, and I still think we're going to see Arch back for another year. So my QB1 right now is probably Garrett Nussmeier from LSU, or maybe we'll see in a couple weeks here once he gets tested. Mendoza, the kid from Indiana, has also been fantastic. So those two have been great. I still really like Lenore Sellers, the big kid from South Carolina, who's got a lot of potential and I think is closer to being ready than people probably realize. Also, John Mateer from Oklahoma has made a run here. Dante Moore from Oregon is playing well. So there's a lot of guys this year, guys. It's not just, you know, QB1, I think, is going to be up for debate. But I think the bigger question this year is how many first-round quarterbacks are we going to see? And I think you could still have a situation where we're looking at like 7 or 8. You know, in this group, you know, this is a deeper group than we've seen in years past. So even if you're Cleveland and you're sitting up there at one, maybe you don't love the guy at one, you know, maybe you want to move down even. You could do that this year, I think, in some ways. So it's going to be really interesting to see how it all unfolds, but also to see how many teams up there need a guy and, you know, how kind of crazy it gets at the top.
Nick, what do you think of Kevin Stefanski as a head coach in his system and his offensive system? And do you think the lack of success is more so his system kind of being stale or the Browns just don't have a quarterback?
I don't think that. Yeah, I think I like Stefanski's system. I've liked it since they brought him there. I think there's actually proof in Cleveland that it's worked, you know, a few times at least. I don't think that the mesh was ever there between Watson and Stefanski, even before all the other stuff. If you just talk about what Deshaun Watson was in Houston as a quarterback and what Stefanski's offense is, you know, like Baker Mayfield is a better fit, honestly, than what Deshaun was in terms of just basic, like, you know, what the quarterback is. So I think if they can get, you know, a stable, steady quarterback who can read the pocket, who can read the field, you know, a young guy that's almost like, it doesn't even have to be spectacular. I think that they rely on the run game and play action well enough to where if the guy can come in there and make throws, be accurate with the football, make good decisions, then you'll see that offense get back in track again. I don't think that it's a lost cause or he's a bad coach. It's just been a terrible situation that he's been thrown into. And he's not the only one there, obviously, but, you know, hopefully for Cleveland, that's going to clear up at some point here.
Nick, one more question before we go. We've got a kid from Edina, Drew Aller. He's the quarterback at Penn State. Huge, huge weekend. So I guess we'll get the big picture overview and your thoughts on Aller and how important is tomorrow night's matchup against Oregon to his draft stock?
I think it's really big because I think he's at the point now where we've seen a lot of Drew Aller over the, you know, he's a senior. He started since he was a freshman. We have the questions about, you know, can you be confident and comfortable over the middle of the field in crunch time? Are you going to make terrible bonehead mistakes? Are you going to be accurate with the football against a really good defense? And if this type of situation now, he's entering a game here against an awesome defense again for the first time this year. If we leave this game and still have the same exact questions that we always have with Drew, like why did you make that, you know, terrible decision there? Why did you leave that ball late over the middle there? Like if that's still happening against an opponent like this, then he's going to slide down some boards. It won't be like a collapse, but he's going to slide down some boards. Other side of it, though, if we don't ask those questions, if he just plays a clean game and plays the way that he can and, you know, really plays well, then I think that he will rise. I think that a lot of guys are going to go up and down as they play against competitive teams this year because it's not, you know, it's a deeper group, but there's not like a whoa guy at the top right now. They're all kind of mixed in together. So I think Aller's right in the middle of it all. A lot of it depends on who, how he performs against the big games.
All right, so of that group, I got a guy I want you, I'm going to give you a name, and I want you to tell me what you know about him. And let me just preface with this. I got a baby brother who is inspiring to be a scout. So we watch a lot of football together. Nice. And a guy that has stuck out to me, whose name I don't think I've heard on 92.3 The Fan yet, is TCU's quarterback, Josh Hoover. What do you like about Josh?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam, so you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
Hoover is really interesting. Like, I mean, a lot of his numbers, I was just looking at him like a couple of minutes ago because I was doing some other stuff here. Let me pull it back up. A lot of his numbers are really good. Like, he's really, really efficient with what they do. I think he understands the offense. Yeah, he's 0.58 EPA per dropback, so he's on the money. He's really accurate with the ball, and I think he's a perfect quarterback for that offense right now. The question with him, I think, with a lot of those guys as time goes on in that system is, can you throw the ball over the middle more comfortably or more confidently? And can you be more aggressive downfield? Like, his resume right now looks a lot like what we saw from Bo Nix coming out. And a lot of people doubted Bo Nix, too, and he ended up being very good. So if we look at this at the end of the year and Hoover's still, you know, throwing a really accurate ball and getting chunks down the field, then I think he's a guy that'll probably rise up some boards, too, even if he is maybe limited in some areas.
Nick, great stuff, man. I think it's the first time I've been able to interview you here on air. Really good stuff, and I'm sure down the line, once we get towards draft territory, we'll have to have you back and see what we think then.
Totally, absolutely. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Nick Baumgartner there of The Athletic. Welcome to Detroit Podcast. We got to react to what he had to say in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. That is the first time that I've had the privilege of interviewing Nick Baumgartner, and he is really good. That really, was really, really excellent.
That was a fire interview. A lot of insight on – I always like asking insight about, you know, the other team and then getting a perspective of what somebody outside of Cleveland thinks of what we have going on here, because we can be a bit emotional from time to time.
I'll tell you this. It's so interesting when he was talking about, you know, the Penei Sewell, who is – if he ain't the best going, he's one of the three best tackles going in the NFL, especially when you factor in just left tackles. I'm so cocky about Miles. And it's when it really started was the San Francisco game. It must have been last year when he hip-checked Trent Williams. Okay. Like, Trent Williams to me is, Joe's the best of that era. Trent's the next best of that era. When I watched him hip toss a man who is one of the best power tackles in the NFL, like strongest and all that, and he just threw him aside, that was when I was done worrying about the left tackle matchup until this weekend. That's how good Penei Sewell is.
I think Penei Sewell is very, very good, but I will give the edge to Myles Garrett. I think Penei Sewell is a physical specimen. I think he has this rare combination of strength, athleticism, and speed from a tackle standpoint. But, man, Myles is a savvy veteran that just hits you on a whole different level as far as his motor and just he has a plethora of moves that he can go to. I wonder if Detroit is leaving him one-on-one with Myles.
I think they might be one of the few teams that isn't crazy to do that. And I think you mentioned something that I've always talked about with Myles that I think sometimes we might lose sight on just how unique Myles is. Like, there are players that I know that when I go to watch them, it's like, all right, if this is a guy whose majority of his success is he's just strong as a bull.
Right.
Right? All right, speed tackle might whoop his ass. You know what I mean? But maybe that's a better matchup than power on power.
Right.
Or if it's like a speed rusher going up against a power guy, we'll get under him, right? Myles is such a unicorn because if you're a power guy, he can beat you with power. And he can also beat you with speed. If you're a speed guy, he can beat you with speed and then just decide to bull rush you and beat you with power. Sewell's one of the few tackles that can do both.
Yeah.
That's what makes this such a cool matchup. Like, this is a trench porn kind of game where you've got that offensive line. I know Ratledge is young. I know Glasgow isn't Frank Ragnow. I know, I can't remember the kid from Boston College, Mahogany, is the left guard. Like,
I like him, by the way.
He's a nice player. Yeah. Like, but like the tackles. And the cool thing about this is, from the Brown side of things, so much of what we've done historically is, well, any defensive line led by Myles is, but the goal this used to be, if you can slow Myles, you got a better chance. You can slow Myles. Well, now you got Mason Graham up the middle. You got Malik Collins up the middle. McGuire, right. They're 8 deep, 9 deep. And that's a combination of inside and outside players. This is, like, for guys who love to watch trench play, this is going to be that, at least that O-line versus your D-line.
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said, except for the fact I don't think Detroit is leaving. I don't think they are leaving him one-on-one with Myles Garrett. I think Myles is that good, and I think that when we hear Nick say, okay, on the ball is where the Browns might have the advantage at, if we've watched Malik Collins through three weeks absolutely wreck havoc. And I think that will be more, I don't see how, it's going to be interesting to see how it go, because two things can be true. I don't think you can leave him one-on-one, but if you believe that that's where the Browns can get you, you're going to have to try to figure out a way to kind of combat that as well.
I think Dan Campbell is one of the dudes in the NFL crazy enough to do that. And crazy, and by the way, and I think Penei is like one of the maybe two tackles
he wants it.
That I could say, like, you have a legitimate chance to slow Myles by yourself.
Now, let me ask you this. Does Jim Schwartz get fancy knowing that he's going up against a very, very good offensive line and start moving Myles around all game
so
long?
It's tough because I do think, like, it's all the other stuff. Like Nick mentioned the play-action game. I think some of the little jet sweeps they do and moving their receivers around. Mm-hmm. Like, they have so many different facets of the run game that yes, like, I think it makes a lot of sense to try and move Myles around, but I also think you have to be really, really careful and getting too cute with that, because it's not just about getting to Jared Goff. Getting to Jared Goff might be the easy thing to do on Sunday. I mean, stopping that run game and all the many facets of it, whether it's the running backs and the pass game, and the short passing game, and the flats, screens, whether it's using Jameson Williams or Amon-Ra St. Brown in terms of any sort of moving east or west plays, like, this offense just has enough little wrinkles to it. And they're good at all those little wrinkles, unlike the Browns, who have got plenty of wrinkles and it's just showing their age. I don't know. I don't know that this is the game where you make a point of, like, it might just be smart to let Myles have his way with Penei and understand that this game shouldn't be the end-all, be-all on just if Myles is having a league game. Because I really do think, like, I think you almost got to let the defensive tackles cook, which you haven't been able to say for a minute either.
Let the DTs cook.
Yeah. Now, we got Jason Stanford coming up in Carry the Two. 10 minutes here. We're going to talk to him about the Guardians. I said this earlier. I said something similar to this earlier. What I like about losing last night is the pendulum swung the opposite way. You were in no pressure land, and with one loss, because now you're tied, even though you have the tiebreaker, you're tied atop the AL Central. All of a sudden, it feels like the Guardians are back in must-win territory tonight. And if you lose tonight, it only becomes more paramount as the weekend goes on. I do think is an added, I don't say a bonus. I think that as a fan makes tonight more interesting and makes this Rangers series more interesting.
Yeah, same here, man. I'm excited about this game tonight because, as you alluded to, now the attention to detail has to be heightened up a bit. You got three games left to go in this season, and you can afford to lose one, but really, can you afford to lose one?
Yeah.
And so tonight's game, more than any of them, because you're coming off a loss after playing so well for so many games in a row, you got to get up, you got to be ready to play. It would be nice to see this team put some runs on the board first. And I think outside of last night, can't remember how many games in a row it was, but the Guardians starting pitching had allowed two runs or less and so many consecutive starts. So we're going to dismiss last night for what it was, and I believe that they're going to get back on track. But as a fan, I am so excited to see how this game plays out.
Yeah, and I just think, like, I think it's another one of those things where now that you went past Detroit and got into first place, I think fans have started to expect things now. Mm-hmm. And so that changes the pressure. Like, this is why the stretch run in baseball, when you're a part of it, is so awesome, because you've gone from nothing to lose to jumping up to the first spot in the division, now to back being tied, but again having the tiebreaker, to now having three games against a team that isn't playing for much. So that's another thing. Do you take your eye off the ball? Do you get too cocky? Do you get too confident? This is as excruciating as it becomes now that you're back in must-win territory. This is the excruciating beauty of playoff stretch baseball. And I there is a big part of me that, like, I expect this whole thing to come down till Sunday. Like, I would not surprised if you split the first two games and then Sunday you're playing for anything from the central to a wild card spot to potentially being the odd man out. And that's the sweet spot of baseball in the stretch run.
I think by the time me and you wake up Sunday morning and we listen to Daryl on Sunday, I think this thing will be done.
I hope you're right.
I think this thing will be done.
I hope you're right.
I think yesterday was yesterday, and maybe I'm just this overconfident Guardians fan right now, but I don't think that this team is going to let their foot off the gas because they're going up against a lesser opponent. I think that this team understands what time it is, and momentum is one of those things that is very, very real. They seem locked in. They seem to be playing very hard. You're getting contributions from damn near everybody on this team. And I think that, listen, we lost to Detroit yesterday. Up until then, we had beat Detroit, what, five times in a row, six times in a row, something like that? And so, for me, it's one of those situations to where when you know it, when you play a team that knows you that well, that many times, you're bound to lose one of them. But, again, we're at home. I expect Progressive Field to be rocking tonight. And I just think that was the one-off to how this team has played overall. I expect a big game from the big-time players today.
I think you're right, but this is I'll circle back to it. This is the beauty of it.
Yeah,
I don't know you're right. I'm in agreement with you that I think this is how it's going to go, but because that loss last night just creates that kernel of doubt, and that's why tonight is so important. Because if you do lose this game, the pressure tomorrow night becomes damn unbearable.
What Socrates say? All that I know is that I know nothing at all.
I thought that was Bill Murray. Is Socrates?
Socrates said okay. It too. Well, I seen it on Power that Socrates said it. So it could have been Bill Murray as well.
You know what? Maybe they both thought it independently, but Socrates got there first. 216-474-0092. How much pressure is on the Guardians heading into this weekend? Jason Stanford, former Indians pitcher, joins us in 5 minutes to break that down on 92.3 The Fan. To talk about the Guardians, their attempts to clinch this division and a wild card, anything really at this point, we head out to the fan hotline to welcome on former Guardians pitcher. You've heard him here on 92.3 The Fan as well. Jason Stanford joining us. Jason, welcome back to the show, buddy.
Good afternoon, Nick. Good afternoon, Earl the Pearl.
What's up, man? How are you?
I'm good, boys. How are you guys?
We're doing all right here. It's a football Friday. The show is flying, which you should never say, because that always kills the speed of the show. But no, I mean, you know, it's funny. We're just talking about how much pressure is in the Guardians heading into this weekend, because Wednesday night, I was so confident they were going to win up 3-1 in the bottom of the top of the seventh that I went to bed because I just knew they were going to win. Last night, they lost, and all of a sudden, I'm feeling the pressure again. How much pressure is on the Guardians heading into this weekend?
I don't think as much pressure as you're mentioning there, Nick. And the reason I say that is Detroit has to go on the road and play in Boston. And Boston is playing very good baseball right now. You know, so when you look at it that way, I think more of the pressure goes on Detroit than it does on the Guards. And the nice thing about it, the Guards are at home. They're finishing up the regular season at home against Texas. They've got a chance to pull it out tonight. And if they win tonight, they're locked. So that's the awesome thing about it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
Jason, talk about Stephen Vogt for a minute, because I know I was a person that at certain points during the season, I was kind of questioning his leadership, but it says a lot about a man or manager, period, to really keep the team together with so much adversity going on. And, you know, some feel like if we complete this and win the AL Central, that he should be manager of the year for the second year in a row. Talk about the job that you think he's done this year.
He's done a remarkable job. I mean, to be able to pull out the way that the team has been playing of late, you know, all of September, is absolutely amazing. And, you know, he doesn't have the big-name dudes. He doesn't have an Aaron Judge. He doesn't have a Cal Raleigh, you know, on his roster. What he does have is a team of guys that go out and compete and get after it. He's got a Jose Ramirez that's going to be a Hall of Famer. You know, he's got other guys that just play out, and this starting staff, you know, and I talked to him a couple weeks ago, you know, about what Carl Willis has done. And that's been, I think, the best part about it is that you've got a starting staff that believes in each other, that they have this internal competition amongst each other, and that's why they've been playing so hot and heavy and hard right now going into the final weekend.
So the pitching factory appears to be back in full swing here with what we've seen, not just with the bullpen and having to turn that over because of injuries, but obviously you mentioned the starting rotation. The idea that you could lose Luis Ortiz early in the season, who was arguably your best pitcher to that point, and still be able to have a six-man rotation in September is crazy. You know, Carl Willis was your old pitching coach. He was here that first run with Wedge. He came up as a pitching coach in the system when you were coming up. What makes Carl Willis a good pitching coach?
Well, I think a lot of it goes to he listens to his players so well about what they're feeling and what they're going about mechanically and emotionally and mentally, you know, being able to prepare day in and day out. He does a really, really good job of that. The other thing that he does is he doesn't overcomplicate anything. If you're going good, you know, he's not going to change anything. And so when you have your bullpen sessions, especially as a starter, you know, you might tweak a little movement here with maybe your finger placement or, you know, going, especially now with all the technology, going and looking at so much video and being able to see, you know, different things like that. But Carl, what he's been able to do when I was there, what he was able to do, you know, a little bit in Seattle, and then now, you know, with the guys here again, it is so fun to watch, you know, especially for me being a pitcher, you know, and what he has to work with. You know, he doesn't have the top dogs anymore. He doesn't have a Sabathia and a Cliff Lee, you know, and a Jason Davis and a Billy Traber, you know, and a Jason Sanford. I'll throw it in there for you guys. You know, but the uniqueness that he does have, you know, Tanner Bibee has been very, very good. I love Gavin Williams right now. I mean, he has been an absolute horse. He's coming into his own right now, which has been fun to watch. He's got great numbers. He just goes out there and competes every 6 days right now, so it's been fun.
Jason, looking at Bo Naylor, over the last 16 games in the month of September, he's batting just up under 300 with 16 hits, 3 home runs, and 14 RBIs. A lot has been said about Bo Naylor all season long. A lot of people was ready to give up on Bo. In your opinion, has Bo Naylor turned the corner for good and for the better?
I think what he did, honestly, was he simplified a lot of things in his swing. He made it a lot easier of, you know, what he needs to do on a daily basis. So, yeah, as long as he sticks to that routine and trusts himself on a regular daily basis and not overcomplicating himself with saying, okay, hey, I'm facing this guy today and this is what he has, as opposed to, hey, this is what I feel good about. That's what I want to utilize, then yes, 100% all day long, he's going to stick to being a good quality hitter like he's showing in September.
Jason Stanford, former Indians pitcher. I'm going to say it, nice guy, very nice guy on the fan hotline here, mostly because I feel like if I pepper you up, I continue to get even better questions here. There are two schools of thoughts on this, Stanny. There is, we've seen Detroit so much that seeing them for another three-game set in the playoffs gives maybe them an advantage. And then the other one is, hey, we've dominated them so much that we want to see them again in the playoffs. If you're in that clubhouse, do you want to see the Tigers again in the first round of the playoffs?
Not in the first round of the playoffs, only because it's a three-game set. If it's, you know, the five or the seven-game set, then 100% I'll take a look at them all day long. The reason I say no in a three-game set, you have Scooble. Scooble's the dude. I mean, you know, yes, the guards have gotten him of late, but when you look at the numbers, it's not that they've gotten Scooble, they've gotten the bullpen. You know, Scooble has done his job and pitched like none other. So the key is figure out how to not face Detroit in the first round, make it, win the division, go have a good time, and then go from there.
So with that, if the Guardians were to face the Tigers again in the playoffs, even if the Guardians win the division, does that mean you would not expect to win the series?
I wouldn't say that, Nick. I would say they've got to go back. You know, they talked about the other night about guard ball, right? Small ball, executing bunts, you know, keeping the ball on the infield and figuring out how to score runs. That's going to be, you know, the key of how the Guards win those series. And, you know, we saw it last year. I mean, the Guardians came in, you know, Lane Thomas. You've got David Fry. I know Fry's not going to be playing in the playoffs, but you had David Fry do his thing. You know, you had Noel Christmas do his thing. So those are the things that you're going to be looking for in this playoff atmosphere, is making sure that they go out and compete. And if it is against the Tigers, they'll take it. And especially if it's a home series, these fans are going to be ridiculous.
At home tonight against the Texas Rangers, Slade Cecconi is on the mound. What do you expect from this team tonight?
I think they're going to come out and compete right off the get. I think Slade's going to set the tone. So, you know, with him going out and throwing the ball the way he's been throwing it of late, he's going to go out and do what he needs to do. But the thing for me right now, the offense needs to get going early. They can't be playing from behind. They can't be, you know, going back and forth. They've got to be able to get a run or two early on and then let Slade do his thing.
All right. I know you love football, too. How are we feeling about this Browns-Lions game this Sunday?
Oh, boy. Do I really have to say anything?
I think so. I think it's better if you do.
I got two of the Lions in my fantasy team, so I've got to be the Lions all day long. I've got to see them just say dominate.
Wait, who do you have?
I've got Montgomery and I've got Gibbs.
Oh, you had a day last week, didn't you?
Yeah, two of their running backs? That's bold, by the way.
He scored four touchdowns last week, my man.
Hey, all I know is every weekend, they're scoring about 50 points for me every weekend right now, so I'm really, really happy right now.
So last night, Marvin Harrison Jr., I finally kicked him out of the starting lineup after the last 2 weeks, and he pops off for 19 fantasy points, and I was like, boy, because I did this with a couple players, and every one of them I feared making me look like a jackass, except Marv, and it goes out there, and the Maserati gets 19 points. So life is good, Stanny. Life is good.
What's the probability, Jason?
You don't want to ever vote or bench anybody that plays for Ohio State. I'm not an Ohio State fan, but when they get to the NFL, they go off right now. Nick, I'll work with you, man, or you can ask my son, Tucker. He tells me how to set my lineup every weekend.
All right, Jason, great stuff, buddy. Always great to catch up with you. We got an exciting weekend here for the Gardos, and I'm sure we'll catch up with you once we get into the playoffs.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Appreciate your time.
No problem. Thank you so much there. We got Jason Stanford, former Indians pitcher, on the fan hotline here. He is a gentleman. You can check out frontlinetofield.org. ORG, that sounded a little different. That is a very different website. But Jason's not on that one. He's on frontlinetofield.org.
Are you sure?
I'll have to do the research. I'm going to have to watch the tape. We'll find out. But Jason's always so gracious with his time. We appreciate him. You're going to react to what he had to say. And talking about the big decision the Guardians have during this weekend and what is the right move, that's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert.
check live view and see a guy looking in your car window.
Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.